While the number of people living in Paradise is few, there are many people working in the town and the communities that surround it. Much of the work involves trees. All over Paradise and Magalia, trees are being downed and chipped into mulch. Many of these dead trees are in danger of falling. Some are trees in the way of future power lines, but many are in unburned areas of the ridge. They're being downed by local organizations in order to lessen the severity of the next fire. Independent producer Matt Fidler has the story.
These are sounds of a forest thinning operation around the Paradise Pines Property Owners Association in Magalia, chipping up woody material removed from the forest and left on the ground as mulch. The goal is to return the forest condition to one that more resembles the forest that John Bidwell knew.
I like John Bidwell, you know, and one of the things that I've read about him is that he rode his horse from Chico all the way over to the coast, to Manchester, I think it is, and he rode his horse there from Chico over there, and you think about doing that now, and it's like there's no way someone could
over the Mendocino Forest, basically.
Exactly.
That's Jim Heltman. He's a former firefighter and now helps manage forest thinning projects for the Butte County Fire Safe Council. Jim drove me all around Magalia, sometimes getting rained on, showing me forest thinning projects with his colleague, Callie Jane Dianza, who is director of the Butte County Fire Safe Council.
We are trying to manage this forest. We're trying to set it up for survival, and it does require us to take some trees out.
I asked Callie Jane and Jim to show me some of the council's projects around the ridge, to explain how they're done, and most importantly, why this is important to do in a fire-prone area like Magalia.
We did a forest management plan for the community of Magalia last summer and found that the forest was about 150% overgrown. Basically, you want to be able to move through the forest just the way the fire would, so that you are acting in that capacity of, you, if you can touch a tree, then the fire would burn from one tree to the next. We want to break up that space so that there's a room for fire to come through and not ignite one tree to the next. So one analogy is, if you can ride through the forest on a horse at a full gallop and not run into a tree, that would be a picture of a healthy forest.
So you take out the small trees, the dying or sick trees, and brush, leaving large, healthy trees, creating a more healthy forest that has a much better chance of surviving a wildfire. The problem is that there are literally millions of acres of forest in Northern California that need to be thinned. So with limited resources, how do you decide what to focus on?
What we've been doing is working with our partners for our community wildfire protection plan. So we bring together a bunch of partners and then design where do the projects need to take place, where there is the most critical risk to fire danger in the communities. And then we wait for the right grant to come. And if it will fund fuels reduction or watershed health or forest thinning, then we write up a proposal based on what the grant's criteria and limitations are.
We drove up to various sites they wanted to show me, including Camp Kudalink, part of the Paradise Park and Recreation District that was burnt during the campfire.
And we can see this area did burn fairly heavily. Again, the intensity of the flames coming out of the canyon, there was not enough space between the trees to slow that down, and it ran into that area.
The area was severely burnt, with very few trees surviving. But then, just a few hundred yards up the road, you can see a line where suddenly the trees aren't burnt very badly and are expected to survive.
And that's this line on the U.S. Forest Service, where last spring we came in and cleared out the vegetation fuels between these large, healthy trees.
So this road right here is part of that?
That's right. And so now we see these trees have a high survivability from the fire. From the design of the project, we just saw directly next to each other, one area burned very heavily, one area burned much, much less. And that was a direct result of that project.
We got out and looked around. It was around 70% covered with shade, like the prescription called for. And when the campfire came through, it worked as planned. Most of the larger trees survived, and the forest was nice and open. Then we continued a bit further on to a project that started as a timber harvesting operation from Sierra Pacific Industries. Then the Fire Safe Council took over from there.
What we have here was a little bit of more open canopy than what we just saw on the U.S. Forest Service project. They were looking for a 30% canopy closure, whereas ours was a 70% canopy closure.
What that means is that only 30% of the sky was being blocked by the tree canopy, letting in more sunlight than the 70% canopy in the U.S. Forest Service project.
And in this case, that worked very well for the design of the field break to help slow the fire intensity coming directly out of the canyon. They left a lot of oaks. You could see these nice, large oaks. So there was a lot of species diversity, a lot of different types of trees. And what's we're seeing are a lot of healthy trees that survived the fire.
But with more sunlight reaching the bare soil, undesirable brush and bushes can come back more rapidly and add to the forest fuel load.
The nemesis, this is the scotch broom plant. This plant can grow in the poorest of soils with the least amount of water, so outcompetes the native vegetation. And here it is on the edge of this great fields reduction, just waiting to take over.
So while a much more open canopy like this one does help slow a fire down, it can also require more maintenance so certain invasive plants, like the scotch broom and others, don't come back. This is why a shaded fuel break is the most desirable.
Having these trees here helps shade the area, so not as much stuff wants to grow back as fast because you have a lot of shaded area. But, you know, if there's no trees here, then the brush would take over.
So a shaded fuel break is a break in the ground fuel while keeping the large trees to maintain the high canopy that blocks direct sunlight.
Another part of what you see here is that when they did do the thinning, they brought everything up. They took all the ladder fuels away. The whole design of this is to keep the fire low intensity on the ground, not travel higher up into the trees.
Which helps slow the spread of the fire, attempting to protect the most vulnerable parts of the community, ingress and egress roadways, and just as important, protecting the community's water supply.
We're standing at the bridge of Little Butte Creek on Hapkodilink Road, and the water flows are very high right now, so all this water is going into Paradise Lake. The good news here is the fire did not reach this portion of the watershed, and so the water coming into Paradise Lake doesn't have those concerns of the fire contamination.
The last stop for our tour was the Paradise Pines Property Owners Association in Magalia. Callie, Jim, and I got out of the car into the pouring rain so Jim could show me the Fire Safe Council's nearly finished project, thinning the forest so you can access a beautiful hiking trail that was once hidden in plain sight.
So before, you couldn't tell that there was a trail here. So once they got in, we're able to clean out all the smaller brush and trees and everything. You can actually use the trail, see the trail, and move forward from here now and enjoy it.
Yeah, take a horse down here.
In Magalia, I'm Matt Fidler.